Well, thank you. It's a great opportunity to visit with you today. Chief Weller is going to be engaged with some of the markup activities today, so he sends his regrets. But who would have thought, if you could go to the next slide, please, who would have thought I would have started a discussion on conservation with Patrick Henry? Next slide, please. But there he is, Patrick Henry. You all know him from Revolutionary War days, and his statement about conservation, I think, is very important. So we've had an interest as a nation in conservation since day one. And, of course, you, Hammond Bennett, many of you know him, the great conservationist he was that founded this agency. And we've had a number of great chiefs, our current chief being Chief Weller. You heard earlier, actually, and you had some discussion as I was sitting here, about this challenge of increased food production on a declining agricultural land base. Here's a graph that shows that representation of world population growth. But I think the challenge is even greater than that. It's also this expectation that we produce this food in an environmentally friendly manner, in a healthy and safe way. And that's a big challenge, but I do think we're up to it. Next slide, please. I want to show you the next two slides. This slide is 1982. The green, the orange, the burnt orange, that shows you land that is basically urbanized. So take a look at that. That's 1982. And if we go to the next slide, this is 2007, and you see how more intense the green and the burnt oranges are, et cetera. The bottom line is one-third of all the land that was developed in this nation was developed in that 25-year time period between 1982 and 2007. Tremendous loss of agricultural land during that time period, and certainly presents a challenge for us as we are trying to increase food production and also do it in an environmentally friendly way. Next slide, please. Back in 2010, as part of our requirement to Congress to provide a resource conservation appraisal, we did some outreach to local working groups related to conservation and also the state technical committees. And this is a representation of their view of conservation issues in this country. So it's about 2 years old, but it has played very heavily into our priorities. You'll see on the right-hand side, the blues represent basically water issues. And then at the bottom, soil erosion. So I think it's very easy to say that a lot of the concerns still focus on water quality, water quantity, and then the sedimentation associated with that. Next slide, please. So a little bit about private lands and conservation, because really the future of the environment in this country depends upon quality conservation on private lands. 70% of the lower U.S. is in private ownership. 88% of all water that falls on the surface falls on private land before it runs off. So it's critically important we have sound decision-making by producers related to conservation, and part of our job is to help them hopefully make the right decisions. Next slide, please. This is a little bit of a representation about where do we stand today through this agency's assistance with conservation. And right now we have about 100 million acres that are under active conservation contract or agreement where we're providing cost share and technical assistance. About 200,000 producers are actively involved in those contracts and agreements. So it's quite a phenomenal effort that private landowners, particularly farmers and ranchers, have undertaken related to conservation. Next slide, please. One of the things we've tried to do, though, is better assess the results of what they're doing on the landscape. Everybody's interested in the outcomes, the actual environmental outcomes. What are we actually doing related to water quality, wildlife habitat, et cetera? So we started about 10 years ago a major project called the Conservation Effects Assessment Project, and we're now starting to see some of the results of that project. Next slide, please. One of the things is we've rolled out cropland regional assessments on a major watershed basis. We started in 2010 with the Upper Mississippi Report, and we're almost through most of the Mississippi Basin. We've got the Chesapeake Bay Report out. We've got the Great Lakes Report out, et cetera. But the findings have been fairly consistent, and these are a high-cut take on those findings. But the bottom line is voluntary conservation does work, but there is more work to be done. And we know what that work remaining is. We know the nature of that work, and it's a matter of providing the right incentives, the right technical assistance, the right education for producers to take those needed actions. Another very important point we found is that targeting the right acres for the right kinds of conservation treatments is so critically important. In fact, targeting on the right acres can be 3 to 5 times more effective than not targeting your conservation efforts. Next slide, please. This is a representation of those cropland assessment reports that we started to roll out in 2010. The yellow areas are the reports that are already out. The green is the Arkansas Red and White River. That's coming out soon. And then the purple is the lower Mississippi. That'll follow later this summer. Next slide, please. Another finding from these reports, I said that conservation works, and I said that voluntary conservation works. What this shows you is the remaining work in those basins when you look at nitrogen in particular. And so what you see on the far right is the Missouri River Basin. You see that many of those acres have good conservation treatment, and the orange bar is very slight. Only 1% of the acres need a high level of additional conservation treatment. Whereas if you go to the Ohio-Tennessee Basin, you'll see there's still significant conservation treatment needed there, both of a high nature or a moderate treatment. Next slide, please. So I want to move now into the agency's current seven priorities. Acting Chief Weller, when he came on board, established these priorities, and I just want to touch briefly on each of them. And if we go to the next slide. So the first one is what we characterize as strengthening our business operations. Obviously, we're in an environment of declining resources, and in our case, that's particularly important when you're talking about technical assistance, a very people-intensive business that we're in. So what we're trying to do is streamline and re-engineer our business processes so we can ensure our people are back out in the field with farmers and ranchers. And our goal is to have those technical assistance providers be in the field about 75% of the time. And we're at the stage now where we're implementing the technology. It's a three-year period. But 3 years from now, we expect to be able to say that our field folks are spending 75% of their time in the field delivering conservation assistance. Next slide, please. Another very important effort is something called soil health. And we'd like people to start thinking about soil differently than they traditionally have. Most people think about soil in terms of fertility, perhaps a bit about structure. But what we're really talking about here is thinking of soil as basically an ecosystem that has living organisms and has to be managed as such. And the basic effort here is if we manage the soil as an ecosystem and we do the right things on the surface of the soil, we then will have a healthy soil, and we're going to accrue all kinds of benefits from yield improvements to environmental improvements. The opportunities are tremendous here, and we've only touched the surface of soil health. Next slide, please. Another one of our priorities is what we call landscape conservation initiatives. And you see represented on this map 19 operational landscape initiatives in the country. For example, the Mississippi River Basin Healthy Watershed Initiative right there in the center shows up brightly on the map. These are efforts where we've targeted additional resources on top of normal programmatic activities, and we're trying to work on the right conservation systems on the right acres with producers so that we can see the benefits of targeting, what I mentioned earlier, 3 to 5 times as much benefit. Next slide, please. This is another representation of those initiatives that are water quality driven. So since 2010 and through 2012, so 3 fiscal years, we invested almost $600 million in specific landscape initiatives targeted toward water quality improvement efforts. You'll see with the Mississippi and some of the facts represented at the bottom of the slide, we've entered into contracts for about 900,000 acres in a targeted way. We have 123 projects covering 640 watersheds. Next slide, please. Another very important effort is to ensure that we are outreaching to everybody, and in this case, particularly those that we call historically underserved. This often correlates also with poverty, and of course, that's a very extensive need in rural areas. So starting 3 years ago, the three service center agencies started with three pilot states. We've now grown that to about 16 or 17 states. And these are specific efforts to outreach to poverty communities, those that are historically underserved, to ensure they have the opportunity to sign up for assistance, get conservation assistance to address their needs on their operations. Another very important effort, another agency priority, relates to certainty or safe harbor. And I'll take you down two tracks here very briefly. One of the certainty efforts relates to water quality in an agricultural setting. And the prime example will be in Minnesota, where they're working through an agricultural water quality certification program that will give producers the opportunity in pilot watersheds to achieve regulatory certainty if they apply the right kinds of conservation systems. So they will have assurance that their installing these systems and they're maintaining these systems, the rules of the game are not going to change on them from a regulatory perspective. And that's really important in today's world with all the variables that producers are dealing with. Another track that we have related to certainty has to do with safe harbor and endangered species. Two of the prime examples for us are the sage grouse, and I have a publication here I'll pass around, but also the lesser prairie chicken. These are largely western, midwestern efforts, but the principle is basically the same. If I, as a producer, implement a sound conservation system that meets the requirements for this program, I then have assurance that I can continue to farm, ranch, and carry out that system, and the rules of the game won't change on me related to these species. So this is very important for producers. Next slide, please. We're also very interested in trying to harness the possibility of private markets. The answer to conservation solutions is not all public. It's not all public funding. The private sector has a great opportunity here, as do the individual farmers and ranchers who contribute greatly to this effort. So we have a number of efforts underway. The example I put up here is related to a program called Conservation Innovation Grants, where we provide matching grants to entities to foster water quality trading programs, for example. So we have a number of these operational grants out there, and we're trying to learn from these pilot projects and see how we might bring additional resources to the table from the private sector, from utilities, et cetera, that also have an interest in conservation opportunities. The last of our priorities, the seventh priority, has to do with strategic partnerships. If you were to go back to our early days in this country in the conservation movement, it was not a very broad movement. In other words, there were state and local and federal agencies involved and, of course, the producer, but we didn't have the NGOs and the other private sector entities that exist today. So one of the tools we use is we enter into agreements, contribution agreements, and we share the cost of projects, share the cost of technical assistance to expand the pool of available resources for the private landowner and the conservation system assistance they need. And you'll see some of the examples on this slide, but this has been a very powerful expansion of the conservation effort in this country. Let me wrap up here and just briefly talk as we look at the future and how do we continue to improve our conservation efforts. One of those things is we have to be very committed to this conservation systems approach. There is no single solution. There is no single practice. It's how you combine those practices on the landscape to meet that producer's operation. And the foundation of that really has to be soil health. We have to continue to grow this awareness and education regarding the opportunities for soil health. Another very important item is to continue this leveraging, this partnership building that we've seen grow in the last couple of decades, especially the last decade, and bring other resources to the table other than public resources to provide assistance to producers. In addition to that, we have to look at certainty efforts, as I mentioned earlier, and also safe harbor efforts. And then we also have to have a greater commitment to something we call adaptive management. We have to learn from what we're doing on the landscape, evolve our practices and our techniques, and it's a continuous improvement process. Conservation is not a static business. You have to always look to how to improve that because you're also interested in the very important issue of economics for the producer. Next slide, please. I think in the interest of time, I won't go through this slide here, but these are some of the things I've already mentioned. I'll go to the very last slide and stop there. So I think the bottom line is you all know this better than I do, that producers do a tremendous job out there, and you'll see that they're now feeding on average about 155 people. And our challenge as a conservationist, my perspective is that we have to have even stronger food production. It has to be economically viable for that producer. And at the same time, we have to protect and restore the environment. And I think all these things are possible. We have producers that are actively out there doing this. We have many examples of this, and it's really just an issue of growing that population of producers that are able to do what other producers are successfully doing with conservation today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. If the two Farm Bill markups are similar to what we saw last year, there would be a consolidation of conservation programs. If that were, and I know hypotheticals are dangerous, but if that happened, how would that affect operations at the Department of Agriculture and work with farmers toward conservation?
That's a very good question, and we're supportive of that. And the reason is because it would streamline the delivery of these programs. And instead of delivering four or five easement programs, three or four cost-sharing programs, we'd have a more consolidated opportunity that was still flexible, but it would save a lot of administrative time and allow us to dedicate more of our time to the actual technical assistance. So we're very much are supportive of some of the consolidation efforts related to conservation programs.
Thank you.